Okay, good morning everybody. How are you? Last time on Monday we looked a little at the concept of bracha she'en tzricha, making a bracha when it's not necessary, when it's out of place, when it's not called for, from parsha. We said we'd maybe continue today to look at some more details and go around these halakhas. If we will get to the bottom of everything, but maybe some of the points that were brought up the other day. So let's just summarize before we go more into it. So he said the bracha she'en tzricha is a particular form of using the Shem Shamayim Levatana, which isn't 100% similar to the classic form of just saying the Shem Shamayim Levatana. To say the Shem Shamayim Levatana just for no purpose, for no reason in the middle of the day, that is clearly accepted to be an Isidori writer. Now, Brasa She'en Tzricha, according to many, is only the Rabbon. And the reason that it's only an Issa Drabbon is because one is mentioning the Shem Hashem in the context of a particular praise, a particular Shabbat. And to say the name of Hashem with praise attached. In fact, when it's not a bracha, it's not a prohibition at all. If one's allowed to say the Shem Hashem with praise attached. The Issa is to say the Shem Hashem entirely levatola, for nothing. But to say the name of Hashem with praise attached is mutter. And a bracha is a particular issur d'rabbanan not to make a bracha, even though there is praise attached. But Chazal forbade making a bracha when it's out of place, according to many, as we said, issur d'rabbanan. So one of the places where this sort of issue comes up, where it becomes relevant, is on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you know, there is a halakha one's supposed to try to make 100 brachas every day. And on Shabbos, it's not as easy as it is during the week. Because during the week, we have these very long Shmoneh Esrei, which gives us 19 brachas each time. So before you start, you've got close to 60 brachas. On Shabbos, there's much less. So people want to make up with mashing a bit of extra fruit, a bit of extra bits and pieces. Yeah, a glass of whiskey, each one according to their minag, according to their desires. Now, what about, as long as it's Scottish whiskey, now what about taking things that you would have had during the meal and leaving them until after the meal? So let's have a look. King Abraham recalls that there were some opinions who were more lenient with Brahma She'en Tzricha on Shabbos. Because that Shlach, he quotes in the name of the Shlach HaKadosh, the Bishabbos, in the view of the period, if they bring you some fruit to eat, and still part of the meal, let's say it's the dessert, one can leave them until after the tzur. Now what will you gain? Let's just think about it clearly for a second. When you eat fruit at the end of a meal, so you anyway have to make ha'it, even though it's during the meal, because fruit is not considered the main part of the meal. So the ha'it you'll have to make anyway. But the extra bracha that you'll gain will be the bracha achroya. If you eat a kezayis of this fruit, so if you have, when you have it as part of the meal, then it's covered by the brik samadhan. Indeed, we have fruit as well, so we don't make bracha achroya. We eat the fruit, but then we make brik samadhan. That covers everything. If you'll leave it until afterwards, then you'll be required to make a bracha achroya. So you'll gain an extra bracha. So the Shlach writes that it is permitted on Shabbos to leave it until after the meal, kedei levari chalei bracha achroida, in order to gain the bracha achroida, the b'shabbos mutar ligroin bracha. As the Shlach on Shabbos, there's a special leniency to allow us to call a bracha she'en tzricha, kedei lahashlim me'er bracha. If they say during the week not, I imagine they start to understand a little better. I presume his understanding must be that, as we're saying the whole time, the it's over here is bracha she'eino tzricha, an unnecessary bracha. Now, what exactly qualifies and classifies it as an unnecessary bracha? I presume that the understanding of the opinion of the Shlach is the way it's being done for the sake of fulfilling this obligation which you have of 100 brachas.
Yeah.
That doesn't qualify it as eino tzricha, as unnecessary. It is necessary.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand. question in the first place?
No, there's definitely another side of the coin.
Okay.
The other side of the coin is, as we said a second ago, during the week you wouldn't do this, right? During the week, this is definitely classified as causing an unnecessary bracha. Here you are, you want to eat the food. In principle, you're quite happy to have it now. It's not like proper etiquette dictates it should be afterwards or anything like that. It would be perfectly in place to have it now. You just don't need it afterwards, so you'll have more brachas. That's called causing a bracha shein the tree. It's an unnecessary bracha.
You're doing it for the sake of making the counting of
your... So who says you're allowed to do that? Maybe you're supposed to make 100 brachas, so... Not to call yourself extra brachas. If in principle during the week you wouldn't do it, it's called causing an unnecessary bracha. So who says that the fact that I wish to have 100 brachas and I'm finding it difficult permits me to call that extra bracha?
Yeah, straight out the bench.
Yeah, I think so. Meaning? Yeah, it's a good question. Well, how far does it go?
Because if this is something you would not do it during the week, but you say, okay, this is now tzricha because you need to make the korah, so you do have some.
It's just during the week a person, let's say a person is very careful every day, 100 brachas, comes towards the end of the day, he sees he only has 98. He says, you know what? Let's eat an apple and a banana. Then I'll have my 100 brachas.
Just eat the apple.
Well, just eat the apple, you're right. Just eat the apple because you'll have your eight and you're wearing a posh. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not called brachas yet in tricha. Because at the end of the day, when one eats an apple, you have to make a bracha, no question about it. But here you have the possibility of eating the apple in the meal where there won't be any extra brocca, and that would be the normal place to have it.
Okay.
So you're right, there's a lot of very fine distinctions here. There's a lot of fine distinctions here.
The apple, it's a second issue. There's nothing wrong with eating an apple.
No.
But your intention is not to put it. So
you're holding now in a situation where you won't need the extra brocca.
Even here, when you don't really need to eat the apple, you could say the apple, then it's more leaning on the side that you're doing it for the sake of the process, but.
There's a lot of side details here, you're right. That would be a little bit like this. You eat the apple, you make a burger for it, and you have a banana, make a burger for it. That you can't do. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. So the Shlal did have this kula. Again, we need to know exactly how far does it go and how fully does it apply. Certainly, the case which the Shlal said, he held you could do that. And the Magen Avraham quotes somebody else who also gave a specific leniency for Shabbos. Maram Galanti b'tshuva also said to the Shabbos, cite something slightly different than the Shlal, but he says like this: Yochel le tzadik le b'nei beito shaloi lehavi kol haperitz lefon the batach. Maram Galanti says, tell people not to bring, don't bring everything into the table. A little bit different to the Shlal. The Shlal sounds like even if it's there on the table, you can decide I'll leave it for after benching. Maram Galanti says, tell your b'nei bayis, tell the wife, tell whoever's serving the meal, don't bring everything in, don't bring the dessert in now. But afterwards, it's not on the table, it's not lefon necho. That's more lenient. However, Moravon concludes that one shouldn't do any of this. Even the slightly more easier case of Maram Galantis, and don't bring it into the table at all, says the Magen Avraham, the Knesset Sagadola, the Shem Fifth, the Freud, the final line of the Magen Avraham, even the second case where he tells them don't bring it in at all, one shouldn't do that. Also the harvest of the prophets.
What should not, because if I am at his house and he don't bring the fruit and he vanishes and then he brings the fruit.
But so, yeah, right. You are so
maybe he is fired because he may not make sure or something like that.
Yeah, but as far as you're concerned, that's fine. Yeah.
Is there anything wrong?
Here the objection is to the
Well, they let him know. He's angry.
No, it's not called Libne Eved. I don't think so, because over here, from the point of view of the guest, there's no bracha in the tricha here. He doesn't know they're going to bring things up. Yeah, it's just like if you just benched and let's say during the week you just benched and your wife comes in from shopping and she says, "Well, I've just bought your favourite chocolates. I don't know, whatever it is. Then you have to eat it now because I've just benched." He didn't know about it. He wasn't holding back having it. Now it's chadish, and you think that you want to eat some of this.
So if your host mentions in the meal that they plan to bring the dessert out, then they
should do it. It's not so right. It's not going to get offended. Yeah. Now the one that Rob asked the specific kasha.
Sometimes, at least you have a guest that needs to go. I need to learn. He has a meeting or something. So losing moon or something, you bench and you go, okay, so I have a dessert after. That's not right to do.
Interesting, I didn't think of that case. Maybe it's not right, I'm not right here. Sure. I mean, there's another solution for that case, which is
just
answer the thing, well, then he can go back. But not sure what would be if you. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a particular question on this whole approach that there might be some bigger leniency on Shabbos in order to help us make up the 100 brachos. After what I wrote, it's almost Mufurish Gemara that there's no leniency. And the Gemara is not solid, yeah, you call it better than that. Isn't the Gemara not like it?
Well, it
is. It's not the same again. Yeah. No, it's not discussed. It's almost Mufurish Gemara. It was discussed in the Tetet Yuma, the Kriya Satoira, which the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. Okay? And then he read in the Torah from two different parshas, in two different parts of the Torah. So there's one part he read in the Sefer Torah, and then the Gemara says something very interesting. The second kriya, the Al-Sorish or Kumashach Kudin Kore Al-Peh. The second part, with another parasha somewhere later on in the Torah, that part he read Baal-Peh. Okay, all sorts of interesting questions we can talk about from the Gemara. We can't go into all of them now, but that's what the Gemara says. He read it Baal-Peh. Ask the Gemara, Amai. Now, why do you do that? Nigla of the Nikri. Let's just roll the Torah that we've got. They've got this one Sefer Torah that they've brought for the Kriya. They read there the first Kriya. Roll that Sefer Torah to the place of the second Kriya. Amra, from the bridge of Yeshua, Amra, Sheshes. The answer to that is, the Fi She'en Goedelin, Sefer Torah, the Tzibul, which they covered Tzibul. Because one does not roll the Sefer Torah, the Tzibul, because of the covered of the Tzibul. We don't keep the Tzibul waiting while we are rolling the Sefer Torah. Tzibul.
That's it.
Then that's if it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
If it's avoidable. But if it's unavoidable. Okay, so here, for some reason, the Gemara considers this a decent option to be carried out. We don't normally consider that an option. Okay, definitely points it, it needs further thought. And this is the library we want to come to. So the Gemara asks, the nicely acronym in Israel. Okay, so the Gemara finds, you don't want to roll this one safer. So bring another safer. Bring a second safer. The Gemara has a few answers to that. Final answer, Reish Lakish Allah. The reason you don't do that, mishum bracha she'en es tzricha, is because it's a type of bracha she'en, it's a bracha she'en es tzricha. Meaning, as they read it in one toyo, this was going to be one long kriya in principle. A bracha at the beginning, a bracha at the end. Even though it's two separate parshas, not like our kriya saferi today. It's dissimilar from the kriya saferi that goes on now.
Yeah.
We're talking here about a special kriya of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Special kriya of the Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Okay, you need a lot of understanding why the Gemara considers it proper chain is three.
Sure, that's like a
technical standpoint. It's not the whole purpose. There's something that needs to be done. But can't read without rolling to the plate.
I thought he has to grind on. He has to go to work, bring the kids to school, and so on, and so we don't delay. But
there's nothing else to do, is there?
I wouldn't have thought that you should have
been
before anything.
It's, I mean, it's all things. What are you going to do? Interesting. It seems the Torah isn't necessarily based on whatever else people might want to do. It's not right to keep people waiting. Especially when it's a civil. Each person's time, it's a minute's time, so it's 100,000 minutes or whatever it is, if it's the Amistad thing that's going on in Chippewa.
They don't need to set people.
Okay. So, the point that we want to bring from here, be that as it may, for whatever reason, the Gemara considers this a bracha she'ein tzrich. You're going to bring an extra Torah, make another bracha, the Gemara considers it a bracha she'ein tzrich. So, after the Magen Avraham, listen, the day when we the most have difficulty finding brachas, for mere brachas, for 100 brachas, out of all days of the year, is Yom Kippur. So, you couldn't want an opportunity bigger than that to say, oh, here's a place where we could be minions in order to get your 100 brachas. So the Magen Avraham pushes aside this whole approach that there could be any leniency for the purposes of fulfilling their brachas, and he says, no, one should not on Shabbos cause any bracha she'en tzrich. Yeah, it's a kasha on Mishnah, yeah. Yeah, the Magen Avraham leaves it with a kasha on Mishnah, and he concludes not like Mishnah. Okay, so that's the position of the Magen Avraham, that's basically how the Mishnah passes. Now, nevertheless, it was mentioned also the other day, this very widespread concept of people making kiddush before the meal, having some cake, and then going on to have the meal, which also seems like a type of bracha she'en tzrich. So this custom seems to be an early and widespread custom. The halacha mentions it, and it comes a chance to investigate it fully, but it comes for a long time before him as well. So it's the third thing on the sheet. And even when they say this to the halacha, she'amina she'im muktzim yadayim koidim kiddush. This is only practical in places where we don't do the tilis yadayim before kiddush. Right? People do the tilis yadayim before kiddush, so it's not going to start having cake in the middle. But our places where we don't do that, we make kiddush before the tilis yadayim. Ma'avu ha'olam l'hakim v'shakris v'ayotam mini mazayim. There's a minute to go and take like a kiddush kodim to them. To wash before kiddush is the yekish minute.
Right.
If you wash before kiddush, then this idea of stopping to eat cake and having is not going to be there again. They bet, but in the places where they don't do that, like most of us, so then it is widespread. He mentions this minute to stop between kiddush and your meal and have bits and pieces, cake and herring and whatever it is.
So they don't have this
kiddush
business. So in
general, they I think that most of them, I think, just do it on Friday night.
Oh, it's on Friday night?
I think so.
Okay.
So there's a number of questions which go around this minute, and one of them is the issue of bracha she'en tzrich. Now, the ayin b'shulchan aruch shel hagra, there's a big halacha saying for the shulchan aruch harav, the first of Bava Tzerebe, she'yishiv ha'mina. Who answers this minute? Explains how it's permitted. It's very detailed, we're not going to hear. The Kotov She'in Mitzvah Tiyahanikin, and it says, well, it's not required to protect against those who have this minute. But because Mokwe, Yesh Anshe Maitha, the correct way is, Shemach Mirim La'atmo B'mokim De'efshe, Kedal Kamokin Avrom. The Tinker Acha Kiddush, and right after Kiddush, notes in the Yodayim, one goes and has the meal. And the reason for that, one of the reasons it is not to cause Brach and Shein's Tricha. So,
how does that
do that? So again, you don't not to do like but he's recommending nevertheless not to follow this minhag. He mentions that there are people who do this and one should not protest against them, but ideally one shouldn't do this. One should after kiddush one should go and make hamotzi, or alternatively he goes without saying, alternatively if your kiddush is a long time before your meal, in between you're going for a walk or sitting to lunch for a bit or whatever else it might be, or reading a book, then there's no issue of bracha she'en tzrich. The bracha she'en tzrich is people who make kiddush, have a little bit to eat, and go right away to the meal.
Oh.
That's bracha she'en tzrich. But he says, yeah, it seems such a minute, but it's not recommended.
So you're waiting for
them to get it. Make kiddush. And they come. What can you do? It's too bad, I suppose. You didn't go into that situation with the doubt to make a drop against it. So you know, there's going to be a bit of time for it.
That's strong.
People do that,
they just
make kiddush,
I don't know,
that's
something that we have in the
condition, but some
kiddush is like,
simple,
and then
having
to
do it wrong,
it is
the same thing.
What's the
kind of thing?
Well, that I can understand.
Yeah, that's more straightforward.
Why doesn't he have? What does that have to do with making a piece of an angle with the mirror?
Well, what is the...
I'm not sure actually what the real... What the real justification is for this?
I'm not sure.
It does mention that it is a justification. So
maybe
it is because of this. That is another way to gain the profit. It's relying on this, maybe partially at least relying on this shalom.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's what it is. Partially it's relying on this shalom. The whole thing, you can make extra profit on Shabbat. It's during the week, for sure, we can do this.
Okay. For example,
In Boston, there was a college, the Rosh College, and gave the first day of the week, or a mitzvah, you mean all kinds of things, and then on Shabbos morning, there is, you know, but that's been the rule before you go home. Then let's take another look at another issue of brachos in a drink in another context. What about somebody who wants to split the Shabbos lunch in two parts? Finds it hard to have two dishes on Shabbos, especially in the short Shabbos. He says, you know what? Anyway, I've got a long Shabbos lunch. Let's bench in the middle, wash again. And come on, right away, finish this.
More or less, Shavuot.
What's on Shavuot?
Shavuot, I mean, one meal. Sometimes we do is you have a daily meal. You finish right. Your bench, you wait half an hour, and then you have the meat meal. So you have to fulfill both the daily and you have the
right. So there you mentioned this waiting half an hour. That makes it
wait a little bit.
Wait a little
bit. But you have what in mind already. It's not like
right.
You know exactly what's going on.
Right.
That's a little bit
more lenient. The most extreme case would be somebody who says
this is just immediately after.
Yeah, you know what? Let's wash it and start again.
It's
what about that? So it's a little bit similar, actually, to the case of the shloch. But the Mogad Avraham didn't agree with the shloch, right? He said, you can't do that. Now, we're getting a little short on time, let's just summarize. There's a Tosfos who discusses this. It seems to have been something that was done by some people. So he says, I shouldn't do this. And one of the objections is, obviously, bracha shein hatzricha. You're calling yourself extra brachas. Okay, but you know you want carrot looking right away. You're calling yourself extra brachas. However, the Shulchan Aruch does permit it in one particular circumstance. If it will be somebody who knows that if he's going to finish his meal and carry on the day after that, he's not going to be able to have finished it. It's going to be what we call achila gap. And Mishmur explains this, will tell you there's some people that while they're still eating, they're sitting here eating, they can eat. They can eat more and more and more and more, and they won't be achila gafa. But once they've gone away from the table, to come back and start another meal, it's going to be achila gafa. It's going to be just too much. So, in that situation, if you're not going to wash and bench, and watch again, then what is going to happen is there isn't going to be any solutions at all. So in that situation, and only in that situation there, we are lenient to allow washing and benching and washing again. And ideally, a little aspect in between, normally it's not so extreme that you can't wait a little bit of time in between. If it would be so extreme that if you're going to wait half an hour, 20 minutes, you're also not going to be able to eat, it could be we would be making there as well. For the sake of being the kind of finished dishes, which otherwise isn't going to be possible, then we are making in this extra brocha. One other similar scenario where we're also making is Erev Pesach, which falls on a Shabbat. Erev Pesach, which falls on a Shabbat, we have a particular dilemma regarding finished dishes. What's the dilemma? The dilemma is that on Erev Pesach, matzah we don't eat, right? No matzah on Erev Pesach. And challah you can only eat until a certain time. So when we're at 10:30 in the morning.
And this year?
This year? No. No, Erev Pesach, Friday. Yeah, Shabbos is quite unusual. It does happen, but it's fairly unusual. So when do you have your Siddur Shlishis? Or how do you have your Siddur Shlishis? So one of the, there's a few options out there, a few ideas, but one of the ways of dealing with it is, again, is this idea that you, even your Shabbos morning meal is going to have to be pretty early. And that meal itself splits into two. Wash and bench in the middle, try to make as much of a little gap in between, you wait a little bit of time in between, and then you start again. That's another case where the type of brocha shen tricha is being committed. Alright, so we stop here. So yeah, that's one of the issues.